Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait for it. It's coming.
Wait for it.
Kazuchika Okada to AEW confirmed. There's a bit of Foley, Mick Foley for you audio listeners.
Just before we started, Ollie said to me, I was like, oh, wait, have I got any coins here? What do my keys sound like if I drop them on the table?
Pretty darn similar if you ask me.
Oh, is this Lord of the Rings over here? Foley levels of work?
Don't adjust your YouTube screen. You've not accidentally clicked on the recap AEW channel video.
I mean, I'm now worried that we're going to get content flagged by AEW themselves for using their sound effects.
I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the AEW Dynamite new look, new roster, new logo, new everything review podcast. Nothing's new here.
No.
This is dependable, reliable Wrestle Talk podcast.
Until we change a lot of the graphics, which will be coming up soon.
Oh, we should have timed that for this show. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button and give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this. It's going to be a loaded question. Excellent episode. We're back.
I mean, as well as us saying that this is an excellent episode will really help the perception that this channel has, which on Tuesday was WWE shills.
Why did they say that?
Well, because I said the Seth promo was bad on purpose.
Mm.
Everyone was like, huffing the copium over there at WrestleTalk Podcast. Huffing the copium. Fed shills. AEW bias out the wazoo. So doing this will be able to be like both of them.
And sending your Omega chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 before the end of the show. But our main talking point is Kazuchika Okada's AEW debut. Of course, he's been with New Japan for his entire career, really. I think 14 years was how long all cumulatively he was there for. And his contract expired in January. He fulfilled some remaining dates in February for New Japan.
Beat everyone.
He didn't put anyone over. Who is this? Sting? Luke's not feeling well.
I'm feeling better. I'm okay.
Yeah. And then I kind of forgot on this episode because I'm looking at next week's episode, Mercedes Moné, Big Business Show. I kind of forgot about Okada.
Yeah.
And also, I was like, it's Ospreay's first proper Dynamite TV match of his new run.
We'd kind of figured that he was going to be debuting on this episode because Tony Khan had said after Revolution, something massive is going to be on this week's episode of Dynamite. And so I think Tempest and I talked about how you can have Ospreay 1 week, Okada the next week, and Moné the week after. And that's like 3 big weeks. And I covered this in the WrestleTalk News as well. So I, in the back of my mind, had Okada is coming into the company. Even with that, I did not expect him in this segment.
Oh, really?
Because I'd fantasy booked myself into a shoot, brother, which is that I'd pitched for Eddie and Danielson to form a tag team based on respect to take down the Young Bucks.
Uh-huh.
So when Eddie's being beaten up, I was like, and here comes Danielson. Mm-hmm. It's going to be... And so when the coin dropped, I was like, oh, Oh, yeah, Okada. That's even better.
So where would you have had Okada show up in this pre-Luke world?
In a Tony Khan announcement. So, you know, cuts backstage and Tony Khan says, thank you, Tony. I've got a big announcement to make. Okada, and you throw up a graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Well, you don't do that. To get the real ratings, you announce for next week that you're going to make a big announcement.
Yeah. Or you do the Kota Ibushi thing. You just, you know, have a video package saying he's going to come.
The Bucks had already set this up earlier in the night where they're backstage. Sorry, the Bucks, the Jacksons, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson. They're backstage and in the same cadence as Tony Khan, but without the unblink, like they definitely blinked.
Yeah, they were trying their best not to, though. They were trying to be as wide-eyed as they possibly could.
They're talking about how they've got these announcements. Matt stops Nick and says, no, we'll announce them later on in the ring. With these two, like, later tonight.
Yeah.
Big cheesy grins. Excellent parody. This is the best the Young Bucks have ever been in AEW.
It's so we did a reaction video to what we're about to discuss, and Tempest said in that, sure, you know, when the Young Bucks are babyface, you're like, yeah, they're perfectly good babyface, and I like them as tag team. And then you see them as heels, and you're like, oh, they should never be babyfaces. They should just always be heels. And I agree with him, and I think this is the best character work they've ever done.
But they've been heels in AEW.
Yeah.
When the whole Elite without Hangman were heels, and, you know, they were.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them there, but now I'm seeing this version, I'm like, oh, this is the magic that they had back in Ring of Honor when they wore the big suits of, not the suits, but, you know, it was just their face all over their own clothes.
This goes to a interview that they did, I believe, with Sports Illustrated, talking about Sting's retirement match, when Matthew Jackson said, we're having fun again, and we haven't been having fun in AEW for a long time. I think it shows that they're having fun again, and that is reflective in their performances because they're just having fun and being really good at this.
So the Bucks come down, the Jacksons. They're in the ring with Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone, they want to congratulate them on the ass kicking they took from Sting on Sunday. Just what a line. And Nicholas is like, get out of here, and he kicks him out.
Yeah. And he says the reason why Sting won is because he cheated. He got all of his friends from the retirement home. He got his sons, who are massive, to get involved. He cheated. But at the end of the day, we retired Sting.
Yeah. Which is a great thing to focus in on now. So Matthew says, the announcement is we've got to make some tough decisions, I'm afraid. And he's playing this up. It's crocodile tears. We've got to do this for our friends. Hangman Page, you put your hands on two referees. I'm really sorry, but I'm suspending you from the Elite indefinitely without pay.
And Tony Schiavone, it might be Excalibur, Tony Schiavone was like, the Elite get paid?
Yeah. Dude, what, he's not suspended from AEW
there? He's suspended from the Elite.
The Elite.
Yeah.
Which I like because Hangman Page is kind of on the same heel alignment as the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like this should surely set up a babyface turn for Hangman Page shortly after he's just turned heel.
What? No. I think this is because they've not suspended him from AEW.
Just the Elite.
Okay. But Hangman's gotten off free here. He's going to have a paid holiday, essentially.
Right, I see what you're saying.
And Hangman Page is actually like...
So he's being paid by AEW, but he's been suspended from the Elite without pay.
That's what I took from it.
Okay, that's fair.
So they're all heels, different levels of heel.
Yeah.
But then they said this brilliant line, Matthew said, and the other problem is... Kenny Omega, you haven't been showing up for work.
For no good reason.
So we're going to have to fire you from the Elite. My apologies, you had to find this out on live television.
And I know you did.
Of course, Kenny Omega is not around for very good reason.
Yeah.
He nearly died.
He's very unwell.
But this is like, obviously they would have asked Kenny's permission to do this.
See Kenny's tweet? I'll get it out because it's from a Revolution thing. I'll get it for you now.
Is it just his face?
Yes.
Seen this. Yeah. Yeah. The disappointed Kenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Exasperated face. But then they're just about to do the second announcement, and here comes Eddie Kingston.
Yes.
awesome Eddie Kingston. He's talking trash. He like threw some stuff in their face. Well,
what he said was he came down and he was like, yeah, cool. I'm wearing jogging pants and I'm wearing Timberlands. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And then he said, you said you're going to fine me if I say something bad about you. Grabs a little money, throws him. He's like, here you go, because I'm about to say something. Gets into a brawl with them. The numbers advantage get on top of him. And now, then I'm like, and here comes Danielson to make the save, because they had that such great promo work backstage following Revolution. Like, it was during Revolution, but they posted it, you know, afterwards. Right? And no, the coin drops and out comes Okada. And I'm like, oh, that's even better. Okada's here to make the save. What a great, putting him into a program against the Young Bucks. That's a really great start for him. And he comes down to the ring and he helps up Eddie Kingston. And he's like, yeah, cool. You're here. This is really, really good. And he says to Eddie, he's like, go get him. Eddie steps forward and Okada grabs him by the waistband and the look on Eddie's face, and he goes, because he then turns him around, hits him with the Rainmaker, and he gets announced as the newest member of the Elite.
Hot damn. And we've talked about this before we came on air. It's there in plain sight.
Yeah.
He's wearing a suit.
We should have seen it coming.
It's Corporate Okada.
Yeah, it's only on the second watch through, when I watched it with Tempest this morning, that I noticed, oh, he's in a suit. I really should have seen this coming. And then I saw your review of it when you said, he's in a suit. I should have seen this coming.
Ed is in slacks. He's in a suit.
Yeah.
Nah, they're different alliances.
But he's the Rainmaker. So you're like, I'm sure he dresses, you know, sharp and everything.
But in robes.
But, well, I guess
he's walking around the shops. He's in his magnificent gown-like robe.
Absolutely right. I mean, here's the thing for me is when Okada was coming into AEW and the rumors started to go around and the news started going around that Okada was coming in, he's leaving New Japan, he's likely going to be signed with WWE or AEW. My reaction to it was, and I've said this in a few podcasts already, I kind of don't want him in either company because I'm not ready to accept 3-star Okada. I'm not ready in myself to watch Okada phone it in on TV. When we watched his final match with Will Ospreay, we were both saying, I was like, man, this looks like a man who is prepping for not doing a lot of work when it comes to TV matches. And I couldn't quite get myself ready for it. In one angle, I'm like, oh, this is the best. Yeah, put Okada on TV every week. Give me those 3-star matches. I want them all now.
So where's he going to go with this? Of course, he's targeted Eddie here. So I think immediately we're going to get Eddie versus Okada for the... Don't tell me. Oh my God, I've actually forgotten his name. It's not the All Atlantic. It is the All Atlantic?
No, that was the original version of the International.
Oh my God.
Come on now. You got this.
Oh my God. It's not the Triple Crown.
Nope.
Because that's the... But it is.
It is, but it's not what it's called.
It's not the C2 belt.
No. C, I think C.
I wrote this. Continental?
Yeah.
Continental Championship.
The Continental Crown, I believe it's called.
Oh my God. Whatever. It is what it is. We can have Eddie versus Okada for whatever the belt is. What did John Moxley once call it? Like the Mitsubishi Championship or some nonsense? All these belts.
But I think that could be a Dynasty. The next pay-per-view.
So. Yeah. But then so Okada wins, gets a belt right away, match against Eddie. Yes, yes, yes. But then long term, you look at this faction, and not all factions are created equal. Because what the Bucks have done here, they fired Kenny Omega and replaced him with his most storied rival, Okada. This is the build to Okada Omega 5 in AEW.
Sure is. And what bigger stage to put that on than Wembley Stadium?
I mean, I hope so. I don't know how serious the stuff is with Omega, but...
Well, he's back...
That's not, 9 months.
He's not back like soon, as in he'll be back in the ring soon, but he was advertised for the Canada shows that they've got in a few weeks' time. And Tony Khan did say, like, you know, don't get too excited about him,
yeah,
you know, appearing on those shows or wrestling on those shows. But I wonder if that was all like... They've set up an angle now. And if you've set up an angle, surely... You know that you can pay off on that angle in a relatively good amount of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, having said that, they also did the devil stuff. but yeah, I would imagine they can get this ready for Wembley.
I would love that to happen, but we'll see. I'm not gonna however much time Omega needs.
So, okay, I mean, are you excited? Are you excited for a Carter in AEW? Are you excited for this act?
Yes. I'm not, like, the Bucks are already great. I don't think this is going to bring them down. I just think it's going to add a singles element to their faction.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get the Bucks going. They enter themselves into the vacated tag team title tournament. So they're going to go some way. Maybe Kingston takes them out, and that's what really sets up the Okada match.
Yeah, could be. And you got, we do a trios match down the line. Eddie can find some backup, mm-hmm. whoever that may be.
Maybe you get your Danielson.
Danielson and Claudio, his two like storied rivals. Mm. The men who now respect him, backing him up against the corporate.
What's happened?
We're doing a show here. Yes. Yeah. Get out.
Usually when that door opens when we're live, I get panicky because it's Tempest coming in to tell us something huge.
Triforce Select have just reported that.
Oh, All Wrestling is now on Disney Plus.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, well, let's get into your Omega chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. Send them in. We'll read out every single one over $5. Andy Sandbox says, I'm coming back from a work conference. And man, what a damn week to miss live. I want to think about the implications here. Okada beats Kingston and Kenny returns to feud with the Elitist for the Triple Crown. I think about this year's Continental Classic.
Kenny and Okada in the C2.
Oh my God. Yeah, just like this new, even somehow deeper roster of AEW and that tournament could be really something special.
It is. The depth of the roster currently, even without people like MJF and Kenny Omega, is ludicrously deep right now.
Yeah.
And it paints a very interesting picture for this year's C2, but only like this year's main event scene and upper mid-card scene for the rest of the year.
There's just so many first-time matches you can do.
Yeah. I mean, look at the end of this show with the Danielson Ospreay stare down.
Space Viking. Gentlemen, I think we have entered the best timeline. Okada joining the Elite was probably the best possible decision we didn't know we wanted. Will is awesome, but needs to learn restraint for TV matches. Hidden Blade should be his apron powerbomb.
That I would agree with. I mean, I was stunned when Fletcher kicked out of the Hidden Blade, but I would have. That should be the finish.
Yeah. I totally agree. I said as much in my review and say the same again later.
Don't think you need to learn restraint TV matches though.
Yeah. The roller coaster says, hi guys, Okada Rainmaker. Have a lovely day. What a time to be a wrestling fan.
Hey.
Eduardo Luna Might have chatted in twice, so apologies for that.
It's not. There's a couple of similar things in there.
I love y'all. Thank you. We love you too. Will we ever get a season two of Worst Match Ever? P.S. How would you book Okada as AEW champion? Two big questions.
Worst Match Ever, TBC.
Yeah.
TBD, hopefully. As for Okada as AEW champion, I mean, like the Kenny match is the big one, but you've got a Jay White there as well. Okada MJF seems pretty tasty.
I don't know if I want him as AEW champion.
But that's why I think the Continental Crown almost works better for him. Also, you know, he gets another New Japan title in there.
Yeah, and he can just go back to New Japan.
Yeah.
And Eduardo Luna again. Love y'all again. How did you guys not run through the whole of Undertaker's streak? Will we ever get a season two of Worst Match Ever? How would you book Okada as AEW champion? Oh, so Survival Series went... Is that the one?
Is that the one that's going to upload today?
Why?
It must be. Let's have a look. I know we put one up. It is. It went up an hour ago.
Oh, well. You know, we won't say any spoilers, but there's a good advert there from Eduardo for everyone to go and watch the latest episode of Survival Series a day early because we made a scheduling mistake.
Because the new series of Monday Night War goes live tomorrow over on Parts of Unknown. It's draft day tomorrow. Myself, Dan, and Pete playing through My GM Mode on 2K24 with the first episode one going out on Monday.
And finally for now, Tem Ruzza says, this Dynamite was incredible. Okada coming in and joining the Elite is perfect in so many ways. The smile and grin on me when I heard that coin drop. Get ready to smile again, Tem Ruzza. For the pitch perfect duplicated sound. Oh, spine tingles.
Do you know what was great about the Okada debut as well? And heel turn? Found the hard cam right away.
Well, that's his whole thing.
Well, yeah, but I thought you needed a good 10 months in a performance center before you really learned where a hard cam was.
It's different for Okada because he, you know.
Because he's always known.
It was on at midday here in Melbourne, and I've been buzzing all day. New theme, perfect. New look, incredible. I guess that means for AEW.
Yes, I'd imagine so.
Because Okada was the same presentation, apart from the suit.
Yeah.
Right, let's get into the full play-by-play. Keep on sending your Omega chats into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over 10 5 US dollars.
Steady.
It's the Rainmaker getting into me.
He takes 1 week off and comes back. He's like, no, I'm upping it to 10 now.
Every chat over 100 US dollars we'll read out. US dollars.
That inflation.
I know, it's gone mad. Yeah, so the show started with a new look, new theme music, new color scheme, new set, new logo. When it opened on the set, I was like, okay, I like this set. I immediately like the look of. Personally, the logo's fine. I prefer the old logo. I don't see this one growing on me. It's just not to my tastes. But the music and the opening video package, I watched it, and now I kind of understand what a lot of people watching our stuff, if we change something, feel. I was like, no.
I wanna light the fuse, fat the boo, don't die to man, keep your body, bitch, turn it, man, the fire.
Yeah. I was like, this is gonna take a while to get used to. This isn't my usual opening. And then I watched it back later on. I was like, it's fine.
It's actually pretty good. Yeah, it's really nice. I like the new logo. You said this in the office yesterday. I think it was on Tuesday when we were watching Sting's retirement match. And we as a sort of office all looked at the new logo. Terry was a fan of it, but you were not. And I think
Terry doesn't like it.
I thought Terry did like it.
Well, she must have heard what I said, and now she's changed it to fit me.
Oh, really?
she said she didn't like it yesterday.
Okay, so she changed her tune then. But you made a very interesting point. Was like the days of clean logos. We in sort of in the mid 2000s, we just all changed every logo to be clean, flat, and
minimalist,
really nice. Two colors. Apple basically started this. Like Apple kind of redefined what websites look like by being just one flat, two flat colors and nothing flashy on it whatsoever.
So to Apple for that, their stylistic thing, but it was actually their product, the iPhone.
Yes.
Which meant everyone's logo could not be complicated because it had to fit on an app and be very clean.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, like a lot of design seems to come from that, more modern design. Even, and I'd much prefer that design. That's why the WrestleTalk logo looks the way it does.
Album covers went through a similar thing because you weren't buying them on vinyl or CD or anymore. You were buying them on tiny things. You were looking at, like, you know, 512 by 512 pixel images. So albums weren't complicated anymore. They were just simple images. But I feel like we're heading back into the 90s now and everyone's going for big, complicated logos again. Big, bright, colorful things again.
Things that a team on The Apprentice would come up with.
They're not that bad.
They're not that bad, but that's the end point of this word art 90s, early noughties direction.
I don't know where you're getting word art from. I like the new logo, but what I really like about it, and you know, perhaps this is where you and I will differ, I like how bright everything is.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like maybe 2.0 is ahead of its time. Maybe you kids just weren't ready for 2.0 when it happened, but maybe they were onto something.
So the opening of the actual show was Tony Schiavone in the ring. You know, because if it's an in-ring interview, it's Tony. If it's behind the scenes, it's Rene.
Yeah.
That's the format. So Tony's in the ring to hold a microphone, and Swerve comes down with Prince Nana, and this was his babyface term promo.
Came out the babyface tunnel.
Oh, did it? I never pay attention to that. It's like white noise to me.
It's only on this episode that I started to pay attention to where people come from. Because now they've delineated again. And I'm like, okay, well, Joe's come out of that one. So that's the heel one. Which must mean this is the babyface tunnel.
And what's the Bucks one?
They come out the Cody Vader.
Mm. But that's the super, super heel? Is that only them?
Yeah, it's only them. Because that's the gag, isn't it? Because when Cody left, he gave the Cody Vader to Jade Cargill.
Right.
And then Dynamite changed the set so the Cody Vader wasn't there anymore. I wonder if they've changed the set back just so they can have the Cody Vader
anymore. Yeah. I like the screen that raises and then, because I guess if you're debuting someone, they come out that. But what? Okada came out the heel tunnel?
He came out the babyface tunnel. Oh. Swerve, mate.
So he turned in the moment.
Yeah. You know, because that's the argument people give. It's like, you can't, how can it be a heel turn? He's only just debuted. Mm-hmm. He came out the babyface tunnel.
So Swerve's in there, even though he's been cheered for months now, like a long time. This was the first time he acknowledged that. He said Revolution was the first time he felt that the fans were cheering for him to win. Doing it for a while. But what, you know, the storyline, character motivation.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says that this time's different for some reason. And he promises all those people and to himself, he will win the championship from Joe.
Which is a pure babyface thing to do. It's I guarantee that I will win that title. I promise you that I will win that championship. That's a pure babyface thing to do, is to tell the fans, I am going to win this belt. And I promise you that I will not let you down. It's what Cody's currently doing at the moment. And it's
worked for him.
And it worked very well for him. And it's like,
not the first year.
Alvarez made this point on his Revolution review with Brian and Vinny, is that it's what AEW's been lacking for 2 years now, really, is the top babyface. They have not had a Cody Rhodes in their company for a while now. And you kind of got it, the potential with it, with Will Ospreay, but you've also now got it, but now you've 100% solidified Swerve Strickland is a babyface, and he is the babyface. And he's a babyface that hasn't changed anything about his character, but is admitting to his flaws from when he was a heel. He even says in this promo, it's like, look, I'm not the champion at the moment, and I've got to wonder if it's karma. Because I've done a lot of bad... And he was like, I've done a lot of bad things around this place. Maybe it's karma that I'm not the champion at the moment.
That was my favorite line.
Yeah.
To sort of merge his old morality into this new one. It shows that he's becoming more self-aware.
Yeah.
So this brings Joe out, Samoa Joe the champion. He says Swerve's house is actually in Joe's world. I thought, oh no, don't do a Wardlow's world thing. And Swerve points out Joe never beat him.
Yeah.
In that fantastic finish where did Hangman tap to stop? Oh, it's so good. This brings out the Undisputed Kingdom. Roddy's the new international champion. The Kingdom are the ROH tag team champions. And Wardlow, he now has a shot at Joe's AEW belt.
Yes. Look. I'm trying with this group, man. The Revolution did wonders for this group in terms of it gave Roddy a belt and Wardlow a big win. And I thought Wardlow's promo, the two promos they've done, have been real, real good. But they still feel like a mid-card act that somehow is in the main event scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're not even in the main event scene. It doesn't feel they're like around. They've been feuding for the international title for the last 2 months.
Well, Wardlow's now going for the belt next week, a big business.
Yeah, so about that, just to skip ahead, I have an idea. I don't know if it's a good one, but it's what I pitched. Wardlow Joe ends in some kind of schmoz, which AEW don't do that often. And you build to a Joe Wardlow swerve three-way at Dynasty. Mm-hmm. Duck Dynasty. And you have Joe beat Wardlow there. And you build to Double or Nothing, a much bigger show, and that's Swerve versus Joe singles match.
So the idea being that Joe has beaten Swerve twice for the title, but has never pinned him.
Never pinned me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Now that you put it that way, I don't hate it as much. The idea of doing two triple threats back to back feels a bit of a lame duck way out. But actually, I mean, the way lame duck dynasty. But the way that you've pitched that, the story out of it's very good. Mm. So well done.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
That's all I want from you sometimes. Just a bit of recognition. I'll never mention it again. But back to the Undisputed Kingdom stuff. Swerve started to do a little bit of a roast on Cole. And it was nice to see because the danger is when people turn babyface, they lose their edge. But Swerve called Adam Cole a manager, which is a very loaded comment towards Cole, considering how he left WWE all those years ago. Called him the Claw.
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget. I like that. And then he said, where is it? If you need more clients, I've got Britt Baker's second phone number in my pocket right here.
Second phone number.
Oh, the insinuation being.
He's doing her.
What? She didn't just lose her phone and Swerve was trying to help out Cole. This is the number now.
I think the insinuation is he's doing her. Through a second phone number. Either that or she's got a burner and she's got a real different job on the side of being a dentist.
That's just like it's her work phone.
Oh, it could be,
Swerve, he's got grills.
I misunderstood this?
I mean, I would never have thought the sexual side of things.
I'm really sorry. I think I've jumped a very dirty conclusion on this. Maybe there is a much cleaner aspect to this, which is just that she's a businesswoman and therefore has two phones.
Mm. Your way does make more sense, though, because Adam Cole seemed very offended by it.
Mm. I don't know how he feels about her being a dentist, I guess.
Well, hopefully they clear it up. AEW just aren't that good at telling stories.
It's not that they're not good at telling stories. It's they have none.
Yeah, it's not our fault. Anyway, Swerve has to get to the back of the line, yada, yada, yada. Very fun stuff. We'll see what happens with Joe versus Wardlow next week.
Big business.
Yeah, big match. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe retains, obviously.
I think so, yeah.
Does kind of derail the Undisputed. The only thing apart from let's wait till Cole gets healed was the story of Wardlow winning the belt and handing it to Cole. So if they do that and move past it next week, I don't know what the Undisputed Kingdom do.
Well, what if Wardlow does win?
So the King, Cole said, the Kingdom will take on Joe and Swerve, but not now, next week. And Tony Schiavone says, well, I've just heard from backstage, we're going to do it right now.
Oh. So I take umbrage with this. This is actually one of my wrestling pet peeves.
I enjoyed this.
People often ask, what's your tiny pet peeve in wrestling that annoys you, that really shouldn't annoy you? And one of mine, because WWE used to do this all the time, and don't anymore, but they used to do it all the time. Wrestlers coming out for promos in their gear and then be like, well, maybe we should have a wrestling match. And I'm like, well, it's a good job you're in your gear then, isn't it? And in this, Swerve comes out in his gear, Joe comes out in his gear, and Excalibur says, they're both in their gear. And then, there's two lads on the stage. Four lads on the stage, five, and two of them are in their gear. And it's like, oh, maybe we should have which of you five should we have a match with? Should it be the two that are in their gear?
Teddy Long's watching this at home,
I I don't know why it irks me so much. Impromptu matches, grand. And AEW don't do this very often. So like this is, you know, it's quite fun to have an impromptu match. But I can't find a kayfabe world reason why wrestlers would go out in their gear and then be surprised they might have a match.
They're all booked for other matches.
Joe was, no, they weren't. They weren't booked for matches.
Joe got worked over for the whole match, really. Not in like a he's getting beaten up way, but he was not really tagging in Swerve. Swerve got the hot tag and then just won. And Joe was annoyed by that because he was like, well, I wanted to work together as a team.
No, well, no, because Joe didn't want to tag in either. Mm. So Joe was beating up both of the Kingdom, and then Swerve asked to be tagged in, and Joe was like, no. Mm. And that distraction is what allowed the Kingdom to take over and beat him up 2-on-1. And Joe only got tagged into the match because he fell into their tag corner and Swerve tagged himself in. Yeah. And then Swerve didn't tag back out and beat them. So yeah, Joe didn't want to tag him into the match at all.
So Joe's annoyed at Swerve for this sort of act of disrespect, and Swerve's looking at Wardlow on the ramp. Joe chokes out Swerve while looking at Wardlow. I thought this was a great angle and segment and match.
Yeah.
Sucks for the ROH tag champs.
Oh, yeah, we have. It's the ROH tag champs.
They're there for a reason.
Like, it's, my slight pet peeve aside, I thought this was really, really good. Hot crowd. Hot Lanta.
Yeah.
And
great
this
crowd.
Crowd were on fire for Swerve Strickland. Mm-hmm.
Hook versus Brian Cage was next after their interaction at Revolution.
Uh-oh, a hot young babyface prospect. Ring, ring, is that Chris Jericho?
So Hook's backstage, he's just about to be interviewed by Renee, and in comes Jericho to just want to say, I think you're a really good kid, see big things for you, like your dad, Taz. And he just puts out his fist for a fist bump.
Yep.
Lame. Hook and Brian Cage, though, I thought they had a great punk song of a match.
Yeah.
FTW rules match. Just loads of weapons, thumbtacks, and the finish was awesome. Hook, who looked really good throughout, by the way, gets the red rum on Cage. And Cage is like, well, I'll get out of this by falling backwards, sending Hook with my weight on top of him into all these thumbtacks on the canvas. They did that, and Hook didn't let go, and Cage had to tap out.
Very cool finish.
Yeah, very good. But then the Gates of Agony attacked him right away because they're all part of the embassy together.
Oh, that's why they attacked.
Oh, did you forget?
I actually didn't know why the Gates of Agony were attacking Hook, and I was like, what a weird team to throw in here to attack Hook.
That makes
way more sense.
I don't know what happens to them now. Swerve is definitively babyface.
Split them up. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to do an angle.
Firm him.
Yeah, firm him. You don't need to do this.
Jericho comes down to save Hook and stay relevant. Video package on the tag team titles lineage. Very good. Best Friends can't enter the tag team tournament because Chuck is still injured. So Orange and Trent will on Rampage. Killswitch took on Daddy Magic after their sort of brawl at Revolution as well. Daddy Magic's midsection was taped up. Really good fire at the start from Daddy Magic, but it was a squash for Killswitch.
It was, yeah. And he just got beaten up, and the Patriarchy were leaving. And as they were leaving, all of a sudden Adam Copeland appears on the ramp.
Caught me by surprise.
Me too.
I thought, okay.
And the Patriarchy.
Yeah, standard squash match for the Patriarchy.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I love that.
And he attacks Nick. He attacks Killswitch. Mother Wayne tries to do a low blow, but Copeland catches it. I thought maybe a Beth Phoenix, but there's an I Quit match coming up next week or in 2 weeks' time, so that'll be when you get your Beth Phoenix spot. And he then chased Christian through the building.
Yeah, usually they do these. They run through the crowd. Okay, on to the next segment. But they stayed with... I really enjoyed how... Like, it's like every segment had a start, and they kept going with the concept.
I was hoping they were going to keep coming back to this. Just chasing him throughout the whole show.
Christian runs into the car park area, steals a guy's car, and drives off. And I was like, steal a guy's car too, Copeland? Let's get cut back by helicopter footage of these two chasing each other.
Instead, he cut a promo saying that he's challenging Christian Cage to an I Quit match for the Dynamite in Toronto.
Yeah, March 20th. So this show, Next week is Big Business with the Mercedes Moné all but confirmed debut. And then Edge Christian 3. Hot run of shows. Yeah, looking forward to that. Presumably Edge wins.
Yeah, well, unless, of course, you know, they attack Beth Phoenix and then Edge has to quit on her behalf.
Yeah, and then he is written out with injury for 2 months, comes back double or nothing.
You're thinking.
Renee's talking to Kyle O'Reilly backstage, who returned at Revolution, and he is just sort of happy to be there, but, you know, very... He's not cool, Kyle. He's totally normal, Kyle.
He's grateful, Kyle.
Yeah.
He's got an attitude of gratitude. That is what Kyle O'Reilly currently has, because there was a legit, genuine concern. He was never going to wrestle again.
So happy to see him back.
Yeah. I mean, get a clean shirt, like, but...
Yeah, so let's talk about that. He was wearing a white T-shirt, one of the ones you would buy from an art gallery gift shop, because I believe it had one of Dali's...
is that image
of Salvador Dali's? With the tigers and the crazy.
I thought that he had a white T-shirt on in the day and then accidentally spilt some coffee on himself and then was like, ugh. I've only actually got the one T-shirt with me. I wonder if I'll get it. I wonder if anyone will notice.
No, that's the print there. What you're talking about is still correct. It's like...
Oh, right, okay.
All of these weird stains over the T-shirt shoulders.
Yeah.
It looked like sweat marks. Like maybe he was going to wrestle and he tanned up and then put a T-shirt on. It was odd. I don't want to like, you know...
Should be excited. Carl's back.
I am excited. Yeah, Carl's back. It's just weird.
Yeah, just
that he's just on national TV with a clearly unlaundered, dirty shirt. If we were, I would tell you to change.
Do you remember that one episode of the WrestleTalk News I did where I didn't iron my T-shirt, and that's all the comments were talking about? I was like, I cannot believe you did not iron this T-shirt.
So if it just leads me to believe there's a reason we're going through this, we're not just slagging off a guy, that it's a character decision.
Yeah.
That he is down and out.
Because his whole thing at the moment is, I don't know where I stand. Mm-hmm. I've come back. I haven't been here for 2 years. This place is very different from when I left. Adam's doing his thing. Roddy's doing the thing with Adam. And I don't really know where I stand with them. I don't know where I fit into all of this.
Where's the Bobby Fish?
Where's Fish? Where's Bobby gone? So I don't know where I currently stand in this company.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. It's odd. Odd start. This isn't my favorite, Kyle, but maybe it'll grow into something that is good. Recap of Sting's last match. Really great. Just so incredibly great. The Bucks promo, which we've talked about.
Well, you haven't talked about it yet. You've now seen the match.
I am watching Revolution one lunch break at a time.
What did you make of Sting's retirement?
I'd seen the entrance before I watched it with you. Mm-hmm. Were you there on Tuesday yet? Like, it's perfect. And I think it's stuff like that and the Brody Lee tribute show that all of these people who slag off AEW and Tony Khan should really go out of their way and watch this match and the Brody Lee show and see that this is a guy that really respects and loves wrestling.
Yeah.
To an extent that very few people have ever done. Certainly not on a national scale with all this financial resource behind it as well. I'm grateful for Tony Khan for being grateful for Sting.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I thought it was a perfect match.
Yeah. And just perfect everything. Presentation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just what a beautiful last line. Hold on, I'm getting cues. Sting's last words ever in wrestling. Hold on, I'm getting cues.
I couldn't have asked for better.
That's what I want on my gravestone. I'll be dying. I'll be 95 years old. You'll be at my deathbed.
Yep.
And you go, what? He said, closer, closer, Luke. What's that? Closer, closer. Hold on, I'm getting cute.
It's what The Rock whispered to Cody Rhodes.
It's in Lost in Translation.
Let's be honest, I'm not outliving you.
Yeah. No, I'm very healthy. Then we got the Okada thing, recap of Ospreay match for later on. I thought the overall, just the episode structure in general, how it recapped Revolution, how it showed you hype packages for people and matches on this show, very, very comprehensive.
Very good as well at being an advertisement to buy the replay.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Chris Statlander and Rio had actually a great match.
Mm.
One of the best women's matches in AEW.
Last week.
Oh, I've not seen last week.
Last week. I think last week was Sky Blue and Chris Statlander, who arguably had the best match of the night.
Mm.
Like, it was really, really great.
Well, I just love Rio. Like, she has the ability to be over at the start. She's always over. But then by the end of the match, everyone is on their feet. I think this has got a This Is Awesome chant. Statlander's size and Rio's quickness, they sort of canceled each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So Stokely Hathaway, Statlander's kind of manager, throws the chain in the corner, distracts the referee. Statlander goes to use it, thinks better of it, throws it away. But that didn't directly lead to the finish.
No, it just took her eye off the ball enough to allow Riho to get a comeback.
But it was like Statlander still was ready to win, and then Riho won with a reverse roll-up.
Yeah.
So it's, I think from Statlander's perspective, the ability to cheat wasn't what lost it for her. It was that she should have cheated.
That's what commentary were arguing about, which I really liked. So you had Taz, who is kind of the heel commentator. Like, he's not an outwardly heel commentator, but he likes their heels. He's like buddying up with Don Callis later on in the show. He was like, she should have cheated. If she'd have cheated, she would have won. And Excalibur, who is the voice of like truth and honor and the good guy of this, said, no, if Stokely hadn't interfered, if he hadn't distracted her, she would have won anyway. She was on her route to winning this match. And they were having a back and forth argument about this. And in the end, this guy was like, and I think it's Taz was like, Tony, do you want to join this conversation at any point? And Tony was like, I agree with you. And Excalibur was like, what, Taz? He's like, yeah, if she'd have cheated, she would have won. And it's created this like dilemma for her as a character of which, what was the right choice to make? Which I think is the fun thing of having a heel manager with a babyface competitor.
I've been down on that.
Yeah.
But this was the bit that made me go, I like this.
Yeah.
Tony storms backstage with Mariah May and Luther and Renee, and she announces the Tony Awards for this Saturday's Collision.
With an eye.
With an eye, so we don't get sued, because it's the Oscars the night after. And Tony is liking Mariah May so much more now that she's dressed up as her.
She's even got her first bit of AEW merchandise, which is exactly the same as Tony Storm's first bit of AEW merchandise, but it says Mariah May now.
Very good stuff. Renee also talks to Stokely and Willow Nightingale. Stokely said that Statlander's his favorite wrestler, and Willow's like, oh, right here. And she's going to take on Rio next week. So you would assume Willow wins without cheating?
I think so, because they're pushing towards Willow going after Julia Hart. Julia Hart and Sky Blue also cut a promo on Willow and Statlander. Willow pinned Sky Blue on Dynamite. On the Revolution pre-show. So we're now looking at Statlander lost to Sky Blue, Willow beat Sky Blue, Statlander has lost to Riho. Mm-hmm. Willow beats Riho next week. That's Statlander has lost to two people that Willow has been able to beat, presumably without cheating.
It's a good slow burn heel turn.
Yeah.
Darby Allin is out next to talk to Tony Schiavone in the ring. He had a real genuine presence about him. I think all of that. He was symbolic of all of us in that moment for missing Sting. He comes down with the bat and he puts over his story of 5 or 6 years ago, he was homeless down the road. 5 years later, he's here helping Sting retire. He's going to fight Jay White on next week's show, but then he's going to climb Mount Everest on the 27th of March. I'm like, well, I know about this. That's cool. You're going for a break. And then he says where he might come back from, I might not come back from that alive. So thank you. Next week is potentially the last match of my life.
Yeah, because there is a genuine chance that Darby won't make it back from Mount Everest. It is a actual life-risking thing. Like, it had a death toll upwards of 30 last year, I think.
Yeah.
So there is a legit chance next week is Darby Allin's last ever match. Horrible to think, because you hope that he can make it back and everything, but there is a real... like it suddenly hit me, and it was in this promo, it really hit me of like, oh yeah, it's not a gimmick. Climbing Everest is not a joke. Like, it's a real risky thing to do.
He really, really likes to tease and tempt death.
Yeah, he doesn't fear death. It's kind of what the sort of the magic of Darby Allin is.
Hmm.
Because he survived it at such an early age, he just... and this isn't a wrestling gimmick. This is just who he is as a person. He does not fear death or injury.
It's full on.
Yeah. Also, amazingly, he's the only one of the four pillars, you know, who doesn't get injured or get suspended.
Well, he does get injured. He just works through it, it seems.
Yeah.
He then laid down his tag team title in the ring because he said, I can't replace my tag team partner of Sting. And I it's such a good way to vacate the tag team titles, because it's quite emotional, but it caps off Sting's career in a very nice way with a bit of gold. But then it also doesn't undermine the ensuing tag team title tournament. It doesn't feel like these are all the second places or the B team. It's like, okay, no, right, that's the line under that era.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting with all of these new teams. We're going to revamp the tag division back to the glory days of the old AEW.
So I'm really hopeful for. And my prediction for that is the finals are Blackpool Combat Club of Mox and Claudio versus FTR, and that's where FTR finally get their win over the Combat Club.
Setting up a FTR Bucks feud after that.
Yeah, great. All in.
Rematch it all in.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, fine with that. Totally good. Jay White comes out because he's facing Darby next week, and he comes out with, well, just the guns, not the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. And Jay White is, I've heard some people say, oh, he's like, why is he being a babyface? Like, he's clearly not a babyface.
No.
He's saying Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta over and over again to distract you from the fact that what he says in between those cheap hometown pops is heelish.
Yeah, he is a heel within a babyface group.
I must admit, I was excited when they first got together, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. I thought it was fun. But the longer it's gone on, the less I care, and I feel is a distraction of Jay White when he should be in a better position.
Completely agree with you. My big issue with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, apologies for sounding like a broken record, they got together to take out the Undisputed Kingdom and have not gone after them since they got together. They had a promo backstage where they're like, and Jay White's like, the reason why we got together was to win gold. And I was like, was it? No, you got
together. What gold?
all the six-man tag team.
Yeah,
I was like, no, you got together because the Undisputed Kingdom were like a common enemy between you two factions. Mm. I am kind of ready for this to... I mean, in fact, I'm not kind of. I am ready for this group to be done, and I'm ready for big things for Jay White. Kind of which is what Darby's promo was. Like, Darby just stood there and he listened to Jay White be Jay White and do all of his Jay White shtick. And then he was just like, are you done? Because guess what? You're Jay White. You main evented the Tokyo Dome twice. You have won titles all around the world and you've come here and done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe the hype. So I'll see you next week.
So hopefully whatever Jay does to Darby next week will be so horrible because you'll write Darby off for months.
Or do you give Darby the win? Because it might be his last ever match.
Jeez, mate.
I'm just saying.
You got the Sting one.
I'm just saying. I'm only echoing what Darby said here. I can't unhear it now.
Well, hopefully Jay destroys Darby and that repositions him towards better things, because he's lost in the undercard, really.
Massively so.
Julia Hart, open challenge for Rampage. Then there was a House of Black promo, also with Julia Hart.
Yep.
It's dark rooms they hang out in. They challenge Mark Briscoe. Why isn't Sky Blue in the House of Black?
She's not. She's a friend of Julia Hart. They mention this every single time they're together. Okay. Is that like, no, Sky Blue's not in the House of Black, though. She's not part of the pack. Which feels like Malachi Black grabs it. Don't ever say Sky Blue is in my group.
Well, what's the color? Sky, yeah, blue.
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 Not black. So Mark Briscoe cuts back to Mark Briscoe. And he cuts Such a good promo.
So awesome.
On the House of Black. He'll take him on by himself. But then Jay Lethal comes in. I've got your back, buddy, in this Atlanta street fight. And you know who else we're going to need in an Atlanta street fight?
Bree-woo, bree-woo, bree-woo. I actually didn't need to do the fake cough. I can do my real one. I liked this because it was Jay Lethal walks up and Mark Briscoe obviously likes Jay. And so he was like, yeah, let's tag together. And then he was back to the fist bump. He was like, wait a second. Let's just do it without that Jeff Jarrett. And Jay was like, you know what? If we're going to do this, we're going to need Jeff. And Jay's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. That's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be hella entertaining. Yeah. I've also
Jeff Jarrett versus Malachi Black. Has that happened?
Jeff Jarrett versus Brody King. You probably haven't seen the pre-show match. So they had a 12-man tag of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang versus Team TNA, Private Party, and Willie Mack. And there was a moment when Jeff Jarrett was doing the Fargo strut in the ring, and every other one of his tag partners was on the outside, all doing it at the same time.
Yes.
So great. I get the feeling we are building to an Inferno match.
Oh, because they mentioned Fire, Ring of Fire, yeah. Julia Hart sung at the end. Are they ever good?
Oh, no. No, there's never been a good Inferno match, but they're a cool spectacle.
It's like wrestlers always think, yeah, but I could do that better. It's like communism. Everyone's like, yeah, but if I did it, maybe I'd make it work. It's a flawed system.
Yeah.
It doesn't align with human nature. The Inferno match, I mean. And the main event was Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher, which I was loving this episode already. I was in such a good mood. I've said it before, but it's not just about great individual episodes for me. It's about the momentum. It's about the story building. It's about how excited I can get for the next week's episode. I'm already there. Mm-hmm. I'm already at like the tippity top of my enjoyment of a wrestling show that I can have, particularly with Revolution in context as well. And then we get Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. It's one of the best matches in Dynamite history. Ospreay moves like no one else. We've been watching him for 10, 12 years mm-hmm. in various degrees of like indie shows or on bigger promotions. And he's getting better. And Kyle Fletcher, we've been watching him for 6, 7 years from like the Rev Pro shows in York Hall all the way through to New Japan and AEW. And he's like, he's just so much bigger and he feels legit now.
Yep. Still got a terrible haircut.
This match felt like I was watching the future of wrestling. And I don't mean that in the more trite way of, well, these two guys are the future. They're going to be the biggest stars of next year or the year after. I mean, no, the literal wrestling they are doing right now is at the forefront of the wrestling art form. It's like I'm glimpsing into what wrestling will look like in 10 years' time in the WWE main event scene.
Will has always been that guy, though. You go back 10 years, Will was doing the style of wrestling that is now main event WWE style of wrestling. Like, he has always been at the forefront of what the next shift is going to be. And here he is again, just doing the same thing. And it's amazing as well, because that was always the style that people were like, you need to tone that down and move into this new style. And he's moved into this new style, but doesn't feel like he's missed or lost anything. He is still just as incredible as he ever was, if not better now. And it's so great to see. And the reaction that he got from this crowd, this was a hot crowd all night long, but this crowd were going ballistic for Will Ospreay. In two shows, they have made this guy feel like the uber megastar of professional wrestling.
And we're going to get this on a near weekly basis.
Which is what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, Will's whole thing about going there, his whole thing is, I want to be here full time, and I just want to have great matches all the time, because that's what he loves doing.
It's just going to raise the bar for everybody else.
Should
like do. The people who are 14, 15 years old now wanting to get into wrestling, they're going to be wrestling this way.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be living through a Will Ospreay on a major American promotion platform.
I said last week on the Dynamite review, because he came out to do a American TV wrestling segment, and I was like, well, this is going to take some getting used to, is watching Will Ospreay do American wrestling TV, But when he just comes out and wrestles, you're like, oh no, it's just Will. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've loved about him since coming to AEW. He's unapologetically Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. He's not changing anything about himself.
So with I would put Takeshita in this group as well. Fletcher, yep. Ospreay, Takeshita. Is Don Callis the best wrestling promoter working at the moment?
So Don, he was superb on commentary because he was making this exact same point. And because they, you know, they were like, why do you keep pinning your family against each other? You pin him against Takeshita, now doing it against Carl Fletcher. He's like, because I have the best wrestlers. And when you're the best, you want to face the best. So the best are in my team. So they have to face each other. Also, because I put on such a great match for Tony Khan on Revolution, I am now being given the opportunity to book matches like this in the main event of Dynamite. You may as well call me the Billionaire Whisperer. That's his new thing, is that he's in the ear of Tony Khan, being able to book these segments for Will Ospreay and Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher and the like.
Well, it's just, I don't know what to say about the match. Like, there's so many spots. It's so, but it's the speed that gets me most. It's so fast. Please go and watch it. It's pay-per-view level. They work a story into it as well because they're faction mates, they're brothers. Will has the injury from a bad back from Revolution,
which Kyle Fletcher won't go after. Mm-hmm. He has a couple of opportunities to target the back, but because he's got such a close relationship with Will, he won't do it. And Taz is there on commentary being like, I'd do it. Mm. Like, I don't care. That is a weakness. You go after that weakness. So after a while, he then does start to go after it.
The only bit of feedback, and we've said it earlier, is that Will hits the Hidden Blade. He only hit one on Takeshita. Is that mm-hmm. correct? And that won the match. He hits a Hidden Blade. Fletcher kicks out. And then a bit more Hidden Blade later on. And that's what Will gets the win with. And it's just like, you've got an opportunity to restart your whole presentation and what the moves mean.
Yeah.
So I would prefer like 3 months of you win with the Hidden Blade if you hit it. Like the One Winged Angel. Or at least 3 months. And then at a big, big pay-per-view match, someone kicks out.
I completely agree. Because he kicks out of the Hidden Blade, and Excalibur was like, well, this is kind of the great thing about Will Ospreay, is that he's also got the Os Cutter in his arsenal, and he's also got Stormbreaker, so it's not like that's his only finishing move.
God, his moveset's incredible.
But I think it should be his finishing move. Like, you can have Stormbreaker, and you can have the Os Cutter put people away, but the Hidden Blade should be the one. Do you remember the first time you hit the Hidden Blade? And there were a lot of like people being like, never do that move again. Hmm. Never. Because I think it was Kota Ibushi he did it on. Everyone was like, never do that move again. That is the most dangerous move I've ever seen in professional wrestling. And he's made it a commonplace thing in professional wrestling.
It's just, it won't be a One-Winged Angel now, which is a shame. Because that's another story you could have told. Omega, Ospreay, Ballad of the Finishers. So my feed, did it same for you, cut off?
It did.
So the fight feed cuts off just as he's setting up for the other Hidden Blade.
Yep.
So I'm like, well, I know, I'm so into this. I know who wins. I'm not an idiot. But I'll have to Google it to find the video to see what happens next.
Yeah.
I'm Googling and I see a picture of Danielson. So that was ruined for me because, of course, Ospreay wins. They're celebrating in the ring. They're still brothers, still faction mates. And Danielson's music hits. He comes down and he stands in the ring, which probably means Ospreay Danielson at Duck Dynasty.
So, Meltzer said on Observer Radio said that's a match they want to do soon. So Dynasty makes sense to me. Oh, apparently as well, the Okada heel turn has been in the plan for months. Like him, the Bucks and Tony Khan have been working on this story for months. So I think that's quite cool. But apparently the Danielson match is going to be happening soon. They want to do it. They want to get to it quickly.
What a card that's shaping up to be. Probably Swerve Joe, at least. Maybe mm-hmm. three-way. Kingston Okada. And Ospreay Danielson.
Yep. Mercedes Moné. Probably going for
Tony Storm.
Could be Moné Storm. Or whatever Monet's first program will be.
Stop it. Absolutely stop it.
Here's the wild thing. Sullivan said this in the office earlier. He said, if AEW can continue this, are we looking at a world in which both AEW and WWE are on fire and are hot products? And I said, the wild thing there, Sullivan, is that is always thought to be you can't have it that way. When WCW was hot, WWF was cold. And then when WCW was cold in the early 90s, like WWF was hot. And then WCW got hot in the mid 90s and WWF got cold. And then WWF got hot in the late 90s and WCW got cold. And then WCW closed. Even when TNA was hot, WWE was ice cold. When AEW started, WWE was ice cold. And then AEW got cold and WWE got hot. And it's just, you can't have two supernova companies at the same time. But maybe now, maybe this will be it.
Well, we'll see what the ratings are. Because while they're hot products, whether they connect to expanding viewership is a different story.
I think it's tickets you want to look at. Mm-hmm. Like if it's both companies can start, well, like, because WWE at the moment are doing...
Collision this Saturday is not selling well.
But this is the start of it, isn't it? Because it's all about building momentum. And it's like they've been, you know, arguably actually have been doing this for the last few months. But if you start doing a lot of these shows, that's what's going to start getting the ticket sales back up again.
Well, they certainly started well here because for me, it's the third best show they've ever done since I've been ranking them. The only ones above it are Punk MJF and the War Games match with the Beast, you know, the Eddie Claudio finish. Yeah. And then it's this one. Absolutely brilliant. I gave it 96%.
Yeah, it's a 5 out of 5 show. Absolutely stellar week of television.
Before we get on with our remaining Omega chats, let's say a big thank you to our wonderful Pledge Hammers on Patreon.
Can you read out all the names? I've got to do the poll because we don't have a mod mother today.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr. He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring. Starbucks, Stephen Costa, Shield Maiden, The Zornice, Burly Rob Burwell, Hiran, Aaron Harahan. Aaron Hamrahan. Didn't do that quite well. He brings the fear, Amir Jones, Apocalyx Now, Andrew Gifford, the Big Red Dog,
Keeper of the Mask Mysteries, Angie,
the Shrockmaster, Austin Shrock.
And finally, for this Hall of Fame class, on the 7th of March, 2024, well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. It's bad news, Bob the Ninja Goldfish.
If you want some more fun bad news, Barrett, rememberings, go over to our Patreon and join those fine folk because Luke and I are reviewing the first 6 months of 2014 WWE.
Yeah, we are doing the breakup of the Shield. We have just reviewed Extreme Rules 2014. This month will be Payback 2014 featuring Blue Tista. And we've also got, if you go over there now, a new exclusive episode of Survival Series Thunderdome Edition. And it's a really, really fun one.
Right, we're going to have to get through these quite fast because we're already over time and there's loads of chats because it's a great episode. Ajaz Hussein, hi both, hope you're well. Welcome back, Ollie, and good to hear your voices better, Luke. I think AEW will do Okada Omega 5 at All Out as perhaps All In will sell itself without that. Maybe a six-man with the Elite versus Omega, Kingston, Danielson. Excited!
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were saying about All In is and All Out is using both of them to promote each other.
Evil Wizard. When Okada hit Eddie 3 belts with the Rainmaker, I devolved into the worst kind of man-boobed, neck-bearded, mark-shaped mark screaming at my computer screen at 2 a.m. Great show. Well, that's what wrestling does to you.
I had a proper hand on head. Yeah. I watched the Ospreay-Fletcher match. When Fletcher kicked out of the Hidden Blade, I literally went...
Golden Knights fan 84. Hey, Ollie and Luke. Hear me out. What about Monet joining the Elite along with the Bucks and Okada at Big Business? Big Business. It does make sense. The Rainmaker. The CEO.
Ooh.
Wasn't that Sasha's name? She was the CEO of...
Something like that.
Being bad?
Hmm.
Think back to the ending shot of last year's Battle in the Valley with Okada and Monet together in the ring. Am I wrong and is this a reach? I think it's a reach, but I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Tem Ruzza, need you lads to start. I mean, what other? It's a great way to push the women's division forward and actually associate them with one of the top acts in the men's division. Tem Ruzza, need you lads to start doing AEW pay-per-view pub reactions. It sucks that for us non-WWE fans, you're not doing reactions for these pay-per-views, especially if they are great like Revolution and Dynasty look already tasty. Eddie versus Okada at Ring of Honor Supercard. Hashtag big business.
So the reason why we don't do the AEW ones at the pubs is pubs have, or at least the pubs that we work with, have TNT sports licenses. So they can show WWE pay-per-views.
It's confusing to American viewers where AEW is shown on TNT.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Over here, it's different.
Over here, it's different. BT Sport, we'll just say. But we don't know what the legal ramifications are for doing that. But it's something I'm looking into.
Grim Nachos, first time Ultra Chat, long time watcher of the channel. I was hoping for Okada's debut at Big Business, as I'll be there, and the April 3rd show as well. Maybe this increases my chances to see him do a wrestle instead. Also, Steinemath.
Say it. It's written there, you gotta say it. Come on, Ron Burgundy. Say the line.
Also, Steinemath, greater than symbol, pipe bomb. This is me, Ollie, now speaking. I don't agree with that. I think Okada's act seems to be one of I'm not going to wrestle unless I'm paid loads of money.
He's on Collision this week.
Wrestling?
I think they're on Collision. I think they're wrestling on Collision this week, yeah.
Oh, well, screw me. Adam West's lapdog. I was just trying to explain why he was so low effort in those last 2 months. Adam West's lapdog, babyface. I grew up around here. Crowd. Woo, that's where we're from. Derby. I used to be homeless 40 minutes from here. Crowd. Woo. Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hello, Luke. Hello, Ollie. Hope you are doing well. I really enjoyed Will Ospreay's debut. Did you know Will and Kyle both... Here we go. Get out your bingo cards for Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
It's that time of year.
At 16 carat before. Speaking of WXW, 16 carat, that's where I'm heading right now. Wish me luck.
Are you competing?
Have a fun time.
Yeah, have a great time.
Always looks great. We were concerned yesterday, or Tuesday, that WXW was closing down.
Yeah, Pete suddenly was like, did you know that AFA owns WXW? I was like, does he? And he's like, yeah, and it's closing down.
And we were like,
I was like, what?
I mean, I'm sure you've done the research before you're making bold claims like that. So what? And then 10 minutes later, different WXW. Suave Titan. Oh no, Andy Sandbox. I'm going to the Toronto show. Awesome. I have to say, Edge versus Christian in their hometown, my hometown. That feels like a big show. Ollie said it best. The Silver Age is upon us. Going to be a good year.
Good year.
So I was thinking about that. I think the Golden Age, right, if you're using comic book categories, that's your 2020 through to early 2022. That's your Golden Age of AEW.
Okay, you're not talking comic books. Early age of comics is 2020 to 2022.
No, but like, you know, in comic books, it was the 40s, 50s. And the Silver Age is the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
I feel like we've entered the Silver Age.
That's nice. I like that.
Because I feel like it's gotten good again.
Also, and if both companies can continue being very, very good, then we truly will be in a Silver Age.
Suave Titan. That nobody wants to go to AEW anymore narrative, then they land all the great free agents is spectacular. Love it. Travis G, this episode, other than the main event and Okada debut, felt very not Dynamite. Too many promos for me personally, but can see how this is going to set up months of potential build for several stories. Wasn't my favorite episode.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the promos and I did not feel shortchanged on wrestling after that main event. Blake. Hey guys, what a time to be a wrestling fan. With both AEW and WWE being on fire recently, this truly is a golden age of wrestling. Way to slam me. The only thing holding us back is the tribalism and the toxicity that comes with it. Let's all enjoy this while we can.
Here's my advice. Get off Twitter.
Yeah.
If you get off Twitter, you don't see it.
Just watch us.
Yeah.
Don't go on the YouTube comments.
I look at this live chat here. I don't see that toxicity.
Good folk.
This is good folk. Getting off Twitter is one of the best things you can do as a wrestling fan.
Andy Sandbox, Memberg for 6 months. The Young Bucks, by the way, are and have been the best tag team on the planet. And I'm glad that we are through the drama and they are reminding us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hot tag over. King Cavill said, last night was my first time at an AEW live show and it couldn't have been better. A huge return, heel turn, and I got to see unexpected favorites like Riho. 10 out of 10, loved every second.
Thanks, King Kevil, because that was a very generous chat you gave as well.
Colostopia. Jack Perry has to join the elite as the Bucks' chosen one.
Oh, goddamn, that's good.
I did message Tempest yesterday saying House of Torture are for sure coming to AEW.
It's already been set up as well with Darby saying you and your California guys, you got them all jobs.
Yeah. F Scorpion, I don't know if you remember, but I also chatted a couple of weeks back wanting a Danielson Ospreay match. Father Tony heard my prayers. Nick Smith said, World Trios now tag is vacant, going to be the first AEW Grand Slam champion. JK, but out of the current multi-champions, Hangman Omega, Mox, Bucks, Death Triangle, acclaimed Scorpio Joe, who do you think could be the first to win them all?
So the World Trios, and now I wouldn't call that the Grand Slam though.
You include the international title in there?
TNT title.
Yeah, it needs to be TNT because it needs to be a men's, like the world title, a mid-card title, the tag and the trios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the first person to do all of that?
Likely Kenny because he's only got one more to get and then he's got the TNT title.
Yeah.
We have a missing username. Please do let our moderators know. This might be me dreaming, but it's mine and I don't care. Our Japanese goat is back and Okada is there too. What if Brian wins the title at Double or Nothing and holds it till All In and then crown Swerve at Wembley? And I know that sounds far, but it'll be a great ride. Also, Riho!
I think there's too many contenders for the world championship you need to put over before Danielson.
Yeah. Which is weird because Danielson is retiring at All.
I know.
Tyrone said, I haven't watched much AEW since Brawl Out, but damn, after this and Revolution, they've got me back. Best Dynamite I've seen between AEW gathering momentum and the build to Mania 40. This is a peak time to be a wrestling fan. Good job, TK. Much love, HH. Kiss, kiss.
Glad to hear you're back in.
Absolutely. Will Campbell, unpopular opinion, but I'd rather Eddie not lose his titles for a match that might not even happen on time. I don't think we really know Kenny's return timetable or even if it'll be good to go by All In. Hope Kenny will be good to justify Eddie losing.
I don't think Kenny needs to be factored into this decision. I think Okada winning the belt from Eddie, who would have held it for 4 months by that point, I think that's very worthy. That doesn't have to rely on a Kenny Omega return.
Absolutely. The Gamer Domain. I'd love it if these legend killer Young Bucks go around losing to every legend they go up against in their final match. But on the following Dynamite, they go, we retired Sting / Adam / Christian / the Hardys. Did you hear Matt Hardy's contract up?
Mm-hmm.
Jess was apparently supposed to be up at the same time, but because he's been out for so long, they've extended it.
Yeah.
Fergal has been a member for 7 months in a row. Are we entering a new wrestling boom? But because of how content is viewed these days, it cannot be compared to any other time.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitively a wrestling boom.
Yeah. Kuzu here said, I'm so mad that I missed most of last night because my stream just couldn't remain stable. But I've seen most of the highlights and, yeah, amazing show. Glad they're not getting complacent after the pay-per-view. Keep the momentum. Rock was right. Wrestling is great.
And F Cody's dog.
Dustin Huffman, not only are the Bucks using the Cody beta now, but am I the only ones who think their new theme is exactly the same as Stardust? No, it's Succession.
I get Succession vibes from it.
I can see the Stardust comparisons to it, but it is a Succession parody. Edgar Carrasco has been a member for 26 months in a row. The Young Bucks acting like TK had me rolling. Love this episode of Dynamite. Love seeing my favorite OG team back on my screen Thursday morning. Jam that jam.
That's us.
That's us. CK, my friend Mick was there last night and called it the best night of her life. She'd had a horrible last 6 months and this was perfect. Saw Will for the first time, got a selfie with Brian, and now has an Okada dollar. Wrestling can help with healing.
Yeah. Well, glad to hear they're doing better.
Mighty Elks, the official AEW logo has become more simplistic, simply dropping the All Elite Wrestling text framing and worn appearance. That is true. The new AEW logo is much sharper.
Mm. But just the AEW logo part of it, not the Dynamite bit. I agree on that one.
Yeah. Kevin, Luke's pet peeves reminds me of the Raw on Strike Anger with 2011, where Christian and John Morrison had an impromptu match and they were both there in their street clothes. This is what we want, AEW. Yeah, wrestling in jeans.
Yeah, heels who are made to rap, but I'm in my suit.
Yes, that's exactly. Slacks. Cody has been a member for 21 months in a row. Said, hello, gents. Is Jericho's new gimmick to insert himself into any storyline? I'm a fan of Jericho, but dang, dude, let that shine on others.
It's not It's not working, is it?
Not loving it at the moment. I'll hot tag back.
Goose Egg. New look Dynamite. Same audio issues. I feel they booked themselves into a corner with Swerve Joe being the hot angle, but needing to include Wardlow. But I feel adding him wouldn't be as bad if it didn't include the Undisputed Kingdom. Push Daddy Magic. Daddy Magic has such great fire.
Yeah, he's good.
Kat, with how interesting AEW is right now, I might start watching weekly again. I miss MJF so much and hope he comes back soon. Looking forward to Okada's AEW run. It's looking to be something special.
I was talking to Ellis and Tempo about this the other day, but as much as I loved MJF's run as champion, I think with the benefit of hindsight, you can look back and be like, I don't think AEW are a sports entertainment product.
Yeah, but I think that the rest of the company didn't quite know what it was doing.
No.
MJF stuff was a shining light in that, and I can't believe they're getting so good without him.
Mm-hmm.
So MJF coming back, I think, will add another strain.
Hopefully.
But because MJF was sort of all they had, they focused on it, and maybe it took over too much of the episode. Yasha, sorry if I'm late, but I love the Young Bucks saying we are not sorry we hate you to Sting at Revolution with Flair being at ringside. Yeah, you remember Ric Flair, that time you got the best retirement of any pro wrestler ever,
yeah.
And you were back 2 years later.
That was less than that. It was very shortly after that because he went to Australia with Hogan.
FIFA Connor 16. I do have to say this technically. The I Quit match of Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland is the fourth match they have had in AEW, one on TV and two on the pay-per-view. Okay.
Yeah. It's because they're calling it Copeland Cage 3.
3, yeah. And Space Viking. I really hope Nick Wayne works out, hopefully put on some weight like Ospreay. I could see him being a great heel proxy of Christian, like Azula from Avatar. Pete probably knows what that is.
Unless it's the blue people one.
Oh, probably the... Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the one Pete likes.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope that makes sense. Couldn't think of another example that you might know. Well, we did not know that one. And Tem Rizza from the Osprey Fletch main. Fletch. What a movie. Okada, Eddie, Cope Cage, and the women cooking before Mercedes arrives. The feeling is back. I'm so excited for Rampage and the Elite with Okada debut on Collision. The build to Wembley really begins now. I got my ticket today.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got our tickets
I
yet.
Know. I was thinking about that today.
Do. Nick Smith. Have Edge repeat the Beth Phoenix spot from his last I Quit match, but on Mother Wayne. Christian refuses to quit, though. It's not what she would want. She's on the ground begging Christian to quit. That's very funny. Lol. Also forgot Darby on my list of multi-champions.
Oh, that's right, because he's a tag and TNT.
BC underscore A. Love having Will in AEW. Love Okada likely taking over the Continental Crown, maybe all three, title. Question, do you think Monet goes after Willow TBS title picture at Big Business or after Tony?
I think if you're going to debut, it's either in the main title picture with Tony Storm or she just has a dream match program first or a couple of dream match programs first, then goes into the title picture.
Well, who would the dream match be against, though?
Well, Britt's the obvious answer.
Julia. Someone from Japan.
Yeah. I mean, actually, Willow in a way, because they had their match for the New Japan Strong Women's mm-hmm. Championship.
Yeah, that's good.
But, I mean, Saraya, you know, with the history that they've got.
Forgot she was in the company. Ryan V. Last night was so effing awesome. Hope this new chapter in AEW keeps going on high. Agree with Ollie about the Kyle kicking out of the finisher. Luke said it too. But he got to get his friend over. I guess now I'm looking forward to Forbidden Door, as it's probably in New York City.
That's right. It's probably the Arthur Ashe show.
Patrick Eddy. Come March the 20th. Lol. Come March 20th. Lol, Dan. We'll be hearing a lot of grr, grr, no,
yes.
And grr, 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 go to hell.
Because it's an I Quit
oh,
match.
Yeah.
No.
Also, with the Bucks suspending Hanger and not firing like they did Omega, do you think there is a chance he could join down the line?
Yeah.
That's what I took from it, yeah.
So, on that 20 business, obviously, some people are now starting to see Dan's way of thinking and are now seeing that it does happen.
Yeah.
And Americans have always said it, despite the fact that Americans were adamant that it's never been said ever, because he then showed one of the latest trailers for Dune 2, and it has there March 1. And people are like,
doing the second.
And people are like, oh no, it's just a Hollywood thing. That's just a new thing. I was listening to a podcast that was reviewing a WWF pay-per-view from 1998. And in it, Vince McMahon goes, Steve Austin, on September 20, you are going to face Undertaker and Kane.
Swear I've heard Alvarez say it in the past.
Yeah, because Americans have always said it. And we're down on this one.
Thunderstorm 87, do you think AEW should introduce a women's tag team championships this year? If so, who would be your champs?
I think AEW should introduce a concept of a second match that's given time.
Yeah, let's focus on getting the women's division the time it needs first.
Baby steps.
Caleb Cannon. I love the initial story. If the AEW title, Jericho to Mox to Omega to Page, is perfect story progression, in my opinion. It got muddy from there. Well, it's because it was like,
yeah,
interims and should have been heel Cody, then Punky says. But Cody could never have done that because of the stipulation. But it feels like with MJF to Joe to question mark, another great streak is coming. Yeah, because it's got like this consistent through line.
Yeah.
As opposed to just championship episodic reigns.
Yeah.
Charles Berg, I didn't think Okada was going to turn heel until he was in the ring. On the subject of Darby Allin, I haven't done a lot of research. Around 800 people attempt per year. 60 to 70% complete the climb. 17 died last year. 2.1% chance last year. 4.4 lifetime.
Yeah. Odds aren't high. But that doesn't mean they're not there. That's what Darby was essentially saying in his promo. It was like, statistically, people die when they try this.
And finally, for now, I think, yes, Gavin Elks, the hidden blade remains protected as he never hit it in the Fletcher match. It's only the hidden blade when he hits it to the back of his opponent's head. That was the first kickout one, though. The second one was to the front, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was to the back.
Well, maybe if we were wrong.
They did call it the hidden blade.
But yes, thank you very much for joining us here today. Sorry for the bumper episode. It was a lot went on. And thank you for all your Omega chats. Do we have the final poll result?
We can do. It is a high one. I can tell you that much. In fact, for the first time ever, 0% thumbs down.
Wow.
For the first time, it is 96% thumbs up, 4% thumbs in the middle.
But who put the thumbs in the middle? Why did you do that?
Well, we had that one Ultra Chat was like, yeah, outside of those two things, but it was a fine show.
Still a thumbs up. Anyway, everyone's entitled to their opinions. For now, thank you very much. Please go over and watch Survival Series. It's just gone live on Parts of Unknown, and you can sign up on Patreon to get an extra exclusive bonus episode of that too. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. It's been Luco in DAD. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.